Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts. Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour, Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed in the book of Acts, chapter 4. What a wonderful book. I love this book, the book of Acts.
You know, it's exciting to see what the Holy Spirit does through people that are just submitted and just enjoy that relationship that we have with God through the person of the Holy Spirit.
I certainly wish that more people were like these apostles that allowed the Holy Spirit to flow through their life. I suppose they probably would have been happy to be more like Jesus, wouldn't they?
Yeah. definitely would.
Because Jesus always did what the Father told him to do. He did only what he saw the Father do. A wonderful way to live. It is a challenge living in fleshly bodies, not having the power and the fullness of the Spirit that he had. Though we have the Spirit, I'm afraid we have it with a measure, and it's not quite the same measure as he had.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it just feels like it must have been amazing for Jesus, because he was fully God and fully man, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are. But there's this war that battles within us, the flesh versus the Spirit. And so it's that tension that I think causes us a little bit of those issues.
It is. And we're going to see, picking it up in chapter 4 and verse 34, that there's always been a tension in our life since the enemy has come and he has usurped our authority. Because in verse number 34, it says, "There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, and they brought the money from the sales." Now, that is a way to get, I guess, some kind of a equality, or some take away the tensions of life here. Those that have were so generous that they gave to those who did not have. Today, we have a slight problem where we have people who expect people to give to them.
Yeah.
They expect it. And here, that people who were poor were not expecting it, but there was a generosity of the rich because they just wanted to express the love of Christ that was in their life. And what a wonderful place to live, where you really don't feel like you have any real needs. And if you do have a need, somebody who has more than enough helps you out.
It's a wonderful communal kind of community kind of atmosphere, and where people look out for one another. And I think that's what Jesus preached, is take care of each other, love one another. And so they express their love for one another by physically taking care of each other and making sure that everybody had enough to survive.
They've tried that a few times throughout history. Alexander Dowie in the 1800s had a little place, and he built a place, and everybody was supposed to be happy.
Yeah.
I mean, we tried it in recent years in the Carolinas, but there it was mostly wealthy people who were able to afford something. It wasn't geared actually the way this is. This is a true generosity of spirit that takes place. Mm. What a wonderful place, like you say, that will be. And I'm assuming that heaven's going to be like that, where you really won't have a need.
No.
All your needs will be met in Christ.
There's an equality in heaven.
Yeah,
I don't fully comprehend how
it's hard
to
understand it
going to happen, because right now we live in a society of rich and poor and people in the middle and all sorts of different scales. But in heaven, there's going to be, the lion can lie down with the lamb. I mean, there's not going to be that attack and that tension or that division. Everybody's going to be at peace with everybody else, which, that's going to be a great place.
Amazing. Once in a while, we find here in the kingdom, and it happens, I suppose, even in the earthly world, where someone who has a house, they leave it. They leave it to a charity. They leave it to the church. Some leave it for animals to take care of cats and dogs and everything.
Yep.
But every once in a while, you find somebody with that generosity that leaves a legacy to assist and to benefit other people. Now, that doesn't happen very often. Usually it's children, and we can understand taking care of children. But once in a while, you find this generosity working. So here, what happened is that these people who owned lands sold them to take care of those that were within the group. There were Christians that didn't have anything.
Right.
And that's pretty exciting, really.
You know, and that kind of tells us the type of people that heard the gospel and then believed. You know, on the day of Pentecost,
changed their lives.
Several thousand came in, and then others. And so, almost instantly, you had a group of thousands of people who said they were followers of Jesus Christ. And look at the transformation that happened. Rich, poor alike, they all came in. The Holy Spirit had bound them together as a family, as a almost like a family, like the family of God. We talk about that. And there was this heart. They were all together, one heart, one mind, Nobody claimed any possessions were his own. They had everything, you know, they just worked together in unity moving forward. And like you said, there was generosity and there wasn't this entitlement mentality you have to take care of me kind of thing. But it was just a wonderful peace and a harmony that the Holy Spirit brought.
But I suppose if you put on your thinking cap for a moment, and if you knew that Jesus was taken up into heaven and he could come back anytime and you could go at any time back up with him, why bother holding onto something here?
There you go. Yeah.
Why hold on to it?
They were expecting his return at any moment.
Sure.
Yeah.
So why hold on to anything here?
Yeah.
And so this long period of time that we have, Jesus is coming back, but this long period of time has placed us in a position where we will be tested to see whether or not we really have a heavenly attitude or whether we are still earthly and hold on to our earthly things.
Now, we're going to find out that this doesn't last too long. As we continue to read through the book, you're going to see where that fleshly kind of thing, that whole testing,
creeps right
back in fairly quickly. We're going to see that in just a little bit.
And it says in verse number 35, and they took this money that they had sold and they made sales and they put it at the apostles' feet and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Now, I'm sure that there wasn't anyone who came to the apostles and they were faking their needs.
Right.
And they were actually saying, hey, I need this, but they were really being greedy. I don't think there was much of
that
going
on.
I don't think so at this time.
Probably at this time,
no. At this exact time, we find Jesus being taken. They're all believing that Christ is coming back so soon.
Yeah.
And their discipleship and their whole Christian life was soon to go to heaven anyway. So I don't think that they were taking advantage of this. Like today, people take advantage of this now.
People are pretty savvy. They hear, that church is giving out that, or this church is giving out that, or that over there. Okay, let's go work this. And they know how to work the system.
That's right.
But we give freely.
Yep,
we give freely without, we don't ask. We just ask for, hey, show me, some ID and a little bit of this so that we can put you into our database, because we have to have a database and record that. But I'm sure there's people that, there's a lot of people that are truly in need.
In need,
and then there's just one or two that always
take advantage of the system.
Take advantage. Yeah.
And Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. We know Barnabas here, he is a son of encouragement. Obviously, this is a great name for him, obviously, because he's going to be encouraging a lot of people by giving this money to help others. That's a great encouragement. There's nothing more encouraging than all of a sudden having nothing and somebody putting a $20 bill in your hand.
Isn't that awesome?
Or something. There's a bit of encouragement that goes on there. And so here, this Levite is a following, I would say, a biblical principle that he learned through his studies about being a generous giver.
I've heard along the way that this might be the rich young ruler who finally came to the realization, that what Jesus told him, go sell everything you have and come follow me. And I it's speculation. We don't have any word on that. But this is similar to that, where what are you willing to give up to follow Christ? What are you willing to become part of that family of God, that relationship to God in Christ Jesus? Do you hold on to the things of the world? Like you said, Jesus could come at any moment. And if you're holding on to the things of this earth and you're not fully committed to him, are you going to go?
Well, the test comes in chapter 5, doesn't it?
It does.
Here comes the test. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. And with the wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but he brought the rest and he put it at the apostles' feet. Mm-hmm. So here, it sounds like a good deal.
Good deal, yeah.
I mean, he kept back some of the money, and I suppose that, if you look at it, I think preachers of old, they never had a bank account. They didn't worry about their retirement. They just kept on going. And that wasn't very wise, really, we think. And so here he's keeping back a little something for maybe just in case things get rough.
Yeah.
Keeping a little back. Nothing really wrong with that at that moment. But then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Now, how did Peter know this?
Yeah.
That's a question we have to ask, because we really don't understand how he knew that.
Yeah.
Whether Ananias told someone else, or whether or not the Holy Spirit just mentioned it, or whether it was such a small amount Peter knew that it wasn't enough. I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't really know.
We have no idea. You know, Holy Spirit,
it's amazing.
One of the works of the Holy Spirit is words of knowledge.
That's
so
it.
So you have supernatural knowledge that nobody else tells you, but you are able to look into the eyes of a person and say,
bingo,
God says this. What do you think of that?
That's good.
Yeah.
It's a little scary.
It is.
It's a little scary.
Because at this moment, I mean, what do you think Ananias is thinking?
Right now, at this very moment, he doesn't know what to think.
Exactly.
He's not sure where Peter got the information.
Yeah.
But Peter's going to lay it out to him, because Peter says, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? Of course it did.
Yeah.
And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? Do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God.
Yeah.
So here, what happens is that Ananias, with a prideful look how much I'm giving.
Yeah.
I sold this, and I'm giving it all to you, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he really wasn't.
He wasn't giving it all.
Not giving it all.
Oh.
But he was acting like he was giving it all.
And he wasn't required to give it all.
No, he wasn't.
He had that choice. He had the choice to do. And all he had to do was come to the apostles
say,
and say,
I'm going
to
keep this. I'm going to give this.
Yeah. You know, I sold the property for this amount, and here's what I'm giving. And everything would have been fine. But
perfectly
when
fine.
You lie, when you hold it back, or when you are deceptive.
The deception.
That's when things start to unravel for him.
Yeah. Deception is when you hold, like you say, you hold this close to your heart.
Yeah.
It begins to eat upon you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Peter understood this, that you cannot do this. And he was prideful. So he says, what made you think you could do such a thing?
Yeah.
And Ananias heard this. He fell down and he died.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, this is a tough scripture. People have a lot of trouble with this.
I've never thought about it until just now, Pastor, but I don't know if the Holy Spirit brought this to my mind, but I'm thinking back to Achan in the Old Testament, who, when they destroyed the city of Ai, kept some of the gold, buried it, and then they went around and they were saying, okay, you know, let's go attack this other city. They went and they lost the battle. They came back, what's going on? And Achan's like, yeah, what's going on around here? I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's that guy over there or that guy.
Yeah.
And everything, you know, the Holy Spirit just brings him right back to him, points right to that guy and say, what have you done?
Well, yeah.
I kept some of the gold, you know.
You did.
I kept some of this and I kept some of that. And so, once again, it's kind of that Old Testament. I'm seeing this Old Testament parallel in the New Testament as well. God's going to find it out. You know, be sure your sins will find you out was the story back in the Old Testament. I think the same is true here.
And you're probably exactly right, because it is a great analogy here about the fact that he was lying, lying about what he had done.
Yeah.
Knew what he should have been doing, and he didn't do it, and it brought death to the family.
Right.
And here, this brings death to Ananias, and also it says great fear seized all who heard what happened. And I think that today there's not enough fear of God in the world today.
No.
So it's possible you could see some of these things happening again. So you want to be careful what you say that you're doing if you're not doing
it.
You want to be really careful.
Yeah.
Because it just may be that some of these things we'll see happening in the end of days. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
And we need people to find the Lord. And maybe it will take something like this. And I've heard evangelists say that, well, Sunday morning service wasn't so good, but when Ananias and Sapphira fell down dead Sunday night, they had a great revival.
It was packed.
It was packed on Sunday night.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So the great fear it seized all those who heard what had happened. And the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. No, I like the idea that the young men with strong backs came and took them out.
Yeah, the old guys were just, you take care
of it. If you've ever tried to carry anybody that's dead or if you carry dead weight, it's really, really difficult to carry somebody like that. A barbell, okay, maybe, but this is just like a rag that's really heavy and it's just hard to carry. So the young men wrapped him up and carried him out. 3 hours later, his wife came back. Here comes Sapphira now.
Have you seen Ananias, anybody?
Yeah. Not knowing what happened to him, Peter asked, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" Wow. She should have known something was up right then.
Little beads of sweat started forming down the back of her neck.
She should have known because why would he ask me how much?
Yeah.
Why?
Ananias was just here telling you how much it was.
Why should he bother asking me? But she says yes.
Yeah.
And so right away, then she is lying also. Yeah. And so Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." And at that moment, she fell down at his feet and died.
Yeah.
And the young men came in and finding her dead, "No problem, we'll carry this one out too."
You know, they just rolled their head back. "God, another one? Another one? Huh, what's happening around here?"
I've never seen four men carry out anybody dead in a service yet.
Yeah. My grandfather died in church.
Did he?
He died. He leaned over and passed away.
No kidding.
In church. Yeah.
I remember one service in New York. I was given the mic, and the pastor went to sit down, and I was the missionary, and I was getting ready to preach, and I said, "Let's pray." So I said, we closed our eyes and prayed. By the time I opened my eyes, there was a lady standing right beside me, and the pastor yelled at me from the front row, said, "Don't give her the mic. Don't give her the mic." So I said, "I'm sorry, the pastor won't let you say anything." She started screaming, and it took four ushers, one on each leg and each arm,
to carry
her out screaming, yelling, screaming and yelling, and they put her in a parking lot, held her down on the parking lot ground.
Yeah.
Just try to cast a demon out of her.
Wow.
She was screaming and yelling.
Oh, my goodness.
She didn't die, but it took four of them.
Took four of them to carry her out.
So here, we're running out of time with that little thing. I just want you to know that God knows everything.
Yeah.
And the best thing we can do is just be totally honest with him. There was nothing wrong with being honest. The problem is that they were lying to the Holy Spirit.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Don't let four men carry you out of the church.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great day.